Your shape of class going here, John.
Yes, moving on. When he came to Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking him and saying, Lord, my servant lies in the house paralyzed, grievously tormented. Yeshua said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and tell another, come, and he comes, and tell my servant, do this, and he does it. When Yeshua heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, most certainly I tell you, I haven't found so great a faith, not even in Israel. I tell you that many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be thrown out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeshua said to the centurion, go your way. Let it be done for you as you have believed. His servant was healed in that hour. There's so much. I mean, we could have really a whole class on some of this, just this material. But I like to emphasize, I feel like Matthew's emphasizing here the idea of the walls coming down, right? Mm-hmm. First you have the unclean leper, touches and heals. Then you have a Gentile centurion, I will come and heal him, right? Some translators say it's a question, do you want me to come and heal him? But regardless, it seems like there's a willingness to go there. And we see this as well in Acts 10:28. Peter speaking, he said to them, you yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man who is a Jew to join himself or come to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I shouldn't call any man unholy or unclean. Right? He's just following in the footsteps of Messiah. It took a vision for him to understand that, but he's following in the footsteps of Messiah. No man is unclean. This leper, my touch is going to go out. He's going to be clean. This Gentile, I'm willing to go and heal his servant. So breaking down the walls, right? Those who used to be outside the gate can be cleansed and come in, the lepers, right? Those who used to be outside because they're Gentiles, they're welcome into the kingdom of heaven. And he emphasizes that with the story of the banquet, right? The great banquet. Many will come from east and west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but just the Jews who reject me won't be there. Okay, so he's, in one way, it's a very inclusive kingdom. Lepers come, Gentiles come, Jews come, of course. We'll see next, he touches and heals a woman, Peter's mother-in-law. Somebody has a fever, I went out with a group. Shalom, how are you? I went out with a group witnessing on the streets of New York. I'm Rabbi Josh.
Brian.
Nice to meet you. Do you want to sit here at the table or wherever you're comfortable? Okay. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
That's okay. So we were out on the streets witnessing in New York. Matthew 8:5. And they said, what do you do if the Orthodox Jews start to attack you? Because they will, the ultra-Orthodox. They would sometimes put themselves, the men in the middle, and the women around the outskirts, because they won't touch a woman. You know, and it was on a Friday, especially on a Friday. They don't want to be unclean before the Sabbath. And so they would put the women around the group, and they'd be protected. So in the next story, Yeshua touches Peter's mother-in-law, right? And she has a fever. And according to rabbinic writings, you're not supposed to touch somebody with a fever. So he's breaking down these walls, right? So in one way it's very inclusive, on the other way it's very exclusive, right? Remember the narrow path and the narrow gate, right? Are you willing to endure the persecution? Are you willing to endure not going with the greater crowd and so forth? So it's open to the right heart, you know. So now this part here, this used to get me because the analogy seemed a little off, but it makes a little more sense to me now. Matthew 8, verse 8, the centurion answered him, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof." Same humility that we saw with the leper. "Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean." No bossing around, just that humility before the Lord. "Lord, I'm unworthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and I tell another, come, and he comes, and tell my servant, do this, and he does it." So this man is a centurion, meaning his authority comes because he's under authority, right? Mm-hmm. His authority comes because if you don't obey the centurion, you've got somebody greater to deal with, namely the emperor, right? He understands this idea. So what is he saying here? You're speaking in authority because I know your authority comes from God. Yeshua, you are also like me. You're under authority. My authority is the emperor. Your authority is God. For I am also a man under authority. He understands Yeshua speaks as the Lord has him to speak. And so all you have to do is just say it. I know where your power comes from. You're not a magician. You're not a wonder worker. Your authority comes from God. So I don't need you to come and do any kind of hocus pocus thing. Just say the word, you know? So again, we've got the faith, just like the leper had. We have the humility, just like the leper had. Okay, any comments or questions? Okay, let's go on then. So then Yeshua says this in verse 10. After he marvels, he says, "Most certainly I tell you, I haven't found so great a faith, not even in Israel. I tell you that many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be thrown out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Okay, so just like John, in his as he's immersing people, baptizing people, don't say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as a father." That's not good enough. God can raise up sons of Abraham from these rocks, right? And Paul later on, talks about same kind of things in Galatians, where it's receiving the blessings of Abraham by having faith like Abraham had faith. Okay, and not having faith, doesn't matter if you're Jewish, not Jewish, it's not good enough, right? I think that's all I want to get into there. Some people use this to bolster an idea of replacement theology. See, he's replacing the Jews with the Gentiles, right? The Jews are thrown out, the Gentiles are brought in. Maybe I should go into this just a little bit. I've done a lot of thinking on what is the people of God? What is the people of God? What does that mean? When you look at Daniel chapter 2, which we've talked about in this class, and in Daniel chapter 2, it's the king's vision of the statue, and then the rock cut out without human hands. Okay, and in the days of those kings, the rock is cut out, smashes the statue that represents all the nations, and then that rock cut out without human hands grows into a great mountain and fills the earth. Why in the days of those kings is a rock being cut out if the Lord already had Israel? You know, and so what's going on? When Yeshua goes around proclaiming the kingdom of heaven, there's already an Israel. Isn't that the kingdom of God? Isn't that the kingdom of heaven? So I can kind of see why some replacement theologians get this idea. It's not necessarily always anti-Semitic. Sometimes it's just a look at scriptures and that's what they come up with. But at the same time, there are so many scriptures that talk about the nearness of Israel, the eternality of Israel. In the Tanakh, and Israel has an important place in the world to come, as shown by the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and the Brit Chadashah. And so where I'm at right now, and these are kind of things that kind of get fleshed out more and more, where I'm at right now is this. It is a new kingdom. Ephesians 2, one new man, right? But it's not a kingdom with no roots, right? The olive tree of Romans 11. Don't forget, you're grafted into that olive tree, okay? And so I think the Jewish people are the roots of this new kingdom, you know? And so I think that there's a place, just like in Israel, Israel's called a kingdom of priests, right? A kingdom of priests. We're all priests, but you still have the Levites in there, and you still have the Kohanim, Aaron's sons, the high priests. And so I think in Peter says, we're a kingdom of priests. And everybody says, the new kingdom of priests. Israel's done away with, we have a new kingdom of priests. Well, just because Gentiles are invited in to now also be priests doesn't mean there's not still a special place for Israel within that kingdom. Now, just to be clear, I'm not saying that Gentiles can't be dynamic leaders and pastors and teachers. I learn a lot from a lot of Gentiles myself and a lot of Gentile teachers. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying a saved Israel has a certain priestly testimony to it, a certain rootedness in the faithfulness of God since the time of Abraham and maybe even before. But there's a certain faithfulness shown to the Jewish people that when the Jewish people in large become believers, the church is going to have that rootedness it needs, and the world's going to see the faithfulness of God throughout the generations. And so, yes, to enter that kingdom, Jew as well as Gentile need the blood of Messiah, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But the Jewish presence within that kingdom provides an essential part to the rootedness and the history. And the Gentiles bring an important part as well, the branching out of the kingdom, okay? The look how far afield we can go. This kingdom is universal. And the Jewish people say, yes, it's universal, but we're grounded in the prophets. Okay, so I think both coming together creates a full picture of the kingdom. And so when people say things like that, if that what I shared with you sits right with you, then perhaps that's how you can counter an argument against replacement theology. All right.